the Lucy Coleman studio today on December the 10th, 2019 in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on God's good, great planet Earth. Thank you for joining me for the webcast. It's been a little bit getting here because I've been a little bit finding pictures that can well address the joy that I feel on this December the 10th as we enter into the Yuletide season. I cannot help but to like this particular time of the year because it reminds me oftentimes of how it was when I was raising my daughters. Oh my God, this is my grandson that you're looking at, Mateo. Isn't he a handsome young man? Just like his grandpa, can't help it. Yeah, just like his grandma, can't help it. Just like his mom and dad, just can't help it. Mateo, I'm telling you, the best and only grandson that I must say that I have ever produced through my daughter. And just thinking about him and contemplating his advancement in this life, so many years after I'm gone, brings me tremendous joy. And I hope that you out there are getting ready to have a nice holiday season. I don't certainly plan to. Those kinds of things, you know, seasonal things when you give gifts and all that. No, I'm not too much into that. But I must tell you, if I had a choice to share something with you about this holiday season as I relax, and what do I mean by this relaxing? Well, you know, I don't have a job. I don't go to work anymore, but I do go to work because I'm constantly working and other people's lives, hoping that they will get better, but at the same time, losing all hope that it will ever take place. I don't know. I shouldn't be like that. I should go to Proverbs chapter 3. I've used these verses before and spoken about them, but I think that during this holiday season, I've got to really share with you what I have found to be, here again, very true in my life. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Let me stop right there, verses 1 and 2 of Proverbs chapter 3. Beautiful, beautiful introduction into the heart of a father and son. Of all the things that I share with the young man that I met over the years, is that I would say to them, don't forget what I taught you. It brought to mind, I think, of a young man who was attempting to catch a train to go to school. And I had been telling this young man, now you're a grown man now. You must think about the things that you do. Everything that you do has consequences. I'm just relaxing. This is how I relax. And I try to tell them that absolutely everything they do or say has consequences. It's going to come back on them in one way or the other. Know that. Every action that you put forth, every idea, it's going to come back. You know, because that's the way life is. Life happens that way. If you listen to my last webcast, you heard that the subject matter got me real excited. I cannot stand the way that men are treated these days. But if I were a father of a man, I would look at verses 1 and 2 of Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart see. Now, this is a contrast to the rebellion in the heart, because the rebellion in the heart of a son today would say, you don't have to listen to these old, antiquated people. Oh, that's a nice picture of his grandson next to him, but you don't have to listen to John. He's old now. Things have changed. I want you to look at this red. As a matter of fact, I want you to grab your Bible, if you can, and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And I just read thus far 1 through 3, but I want to stop at some of these verses, and so that you can get the true gist of what these verses are teaching. As a father would speak with his son, so I'm speaking with you. Young men, young women, middle age, older in age, it doesn't matter. I'm speaking to you. My son, my daughter, don't forget my teaching. If I am in truth a good parent, I'm going to teach you good things. I'm going to tell you things that are going to produce something in your life. That's what these verses are all about. Look at the way the sentence is structured. My son, comma, that's to get your attention. Do not forget my teaching. That's one of the main themes of his premises here as he goes into the conclusion. And then there's another comma. And then he says, but let your heart keep my commandments. No period yet. This is all one sentence. In other words, my teaching should be kept in your heart. Those are my commandments. You know where they came from. They came from someone older than you. They came from someone that knew better than you. Then he goes on and says, for length of days and years of life. In other words, he's talking about the quality of your life is at stake here if you don't shut the hell up and pay attention to what I'm saying. Now, either this is a funny book or it's a true book. Length of days and years of life, and look at comma, and peace they will add to you, period. Look at that. Look at that. Now, I'm going to read the whole sentence all over again, and you see why. My son, in other words, that's relational. I love you. I've invested in you. I've placed something in you. You're supposed to take this placement and make it work, because it says, and do not forget my teaching. If you're truly a son of mine, you will not forget what I've taught you. But let your heart, in other words, these things just can't be in your head. They have to be deep down in the rudimentary value of your existence, but let your heart keep my commandments. In other words, you're going to keep these commandments in your heart, not just in your head. And then he gives you in verse 2 the reasons why. And you know this is true, because if Tupac Shakur had someone to explain this to him, he would probably be alive today. Verse 2 says, for length of days and years of life, comma, and peace. Look at this. Length of days, in other words, your days will be a full 24 hours. You won't wake up like I do now saying, oh, I fell asleep. What happened to the rest of the day? No, because I'm getting old. I'm peeling off. I know that. But he says that when you keep the right commandments and the right teaching, your days will be lengthened and your years of life. In other words, me being 75, you need to look at 105. If you live right. Now, look. Then he continues to talk about what keeps you relaxing and contemplative in this life. He says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Oh, don't get it twisted about John Coleman. He's kind. He's going to tell you the truth. And now, as a father, he would tell you, don't let that leave you. Bind them. What is a them? The kindness and the truth. Bind that around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Kindness and truth. This is what he says. Why? Look at verse 4. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Now, let me say this. Never been to jail except when I was in the military and spent 20 days in the military stockade for insubordination to a non-commissioned officer. I should have been insubordinate towards him. He played me. And you don't play me like that. I just don't know how to respond to racists. I call you what your mama never did. But that's all right. I'm an old man now. I can think back on these things. Now, so what he gives in verses 1 and 2 is he tells you something. Length of days, years of life, and peace will come to you if you listen to wisdom and follow wisdom. Verses 3 and 4, he adds on to that. Don't let kindness and truth leave you. Now, the assumption is that kindness and truth is in you. Woe unto you if you cannot fathom whether kindness nor truth exist in you. Oh, somebody's sending me messages. I don't know what they're telling me. What's happening? Is it a red alert? A bleak alert? Is everything all right? Can't even find my phone here. Oh, here it is. Right in front of me, and I couldn't see it. Let me see, what was that all about? You see, I just got to know when things are getting ready to go off. I have to know those things. Oh, I see. Oh, here's a good thing from one of the friends of mine that I love to hang with. He said, I challenge you to send I Love Jesus to 10 friends. Let's see if you have time for Jesus. Well, I'd like to know, and I'm not going to ask this person that, because I think that it would just flat out embarrass them. Why 10? Why 1? If you love Jesus, you don't have to tell anybody about it. And by starting a rude chain letter doesn't mean that you love Jesus. It really doesn't. So I don't participate in trivial, silly things like that. I'm talking about how to relax. How do I relax? I relax by trusting in something else than chain letters on a phone. But that's what some of my friends have succumbed to. I'm supposed to go to a meeting tonight with men, and I'm supposed to listen to a young man tell me how to live a successful life. I wish they would let me bring at this meeting a definition of this. Just have this one slide up that I'm looking at, which is out of my Bible, to let them know where I'm coming from. So I'm only 14 minutes and 40 seconds into this. So let me share with you how you can have a successful life. For the remaining part of the verses 5 through 12. I've given a Bible study like this on numerous occasions, but I want to do it because my grandson, I'm thinking of him. I love him so much. I love my granddaughter, my family. During this time of the year, I can't help to think of it. I see all of that as bounty, what God has blessed me with. So God is speaking to me now, because I take these verses and I personalize them. I don't want to just share them with you. They are for me now. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, what he's saying, trust in God with your entire, trust in Yahweh with your entire intellect and intelligence and will. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not on saying I love Jesus, because they don't know who you love. They will know by how you live, by how you conduct yourself. And do not lean on your own understanding. In other words, he says, don't lean on your own knowledge. Don't get lost in listening to you. Now look why he says that in verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Why? And he will make your path straight. In other words, in the King James, it says, he will direct your paths. In other words, he'll put you on the right road. He'll straighten out the mess that you messed up. You messed up? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Who are you trusting in? You? Never work. Trust in him with all your will and intellect. In other words, turn your will and intellect over to him. Don't lean. In other words, don't rest upon. Don't use you as a crutch, because you can't hold you up. That's why he says, lean not on your own understanding. You may think you have knowledge of something, but if you haven't trusted solely in the Lord, you have knowledge of nothing. Then it says in verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him. Man have problem with that. They're not going to acknowledge him in all their ways. They want to keep some of their ways. No, no, no. In all your ways, put your ways on him. Acknowledge him. Put him as the first place. Acknowledge God. And he will make your path straight. Now, you know what that means? He will direct you. I see so many people that are shiftless, directionless, because they don't let God guide them in anything. They're guiding themselves. I tell them, when are you going to stop doing that and get in the mix, get in the flow of life? You can't make your life go that way. Get in the flow. And as you find yourself in the flow, listen to me. You want relaxation and contemplation? Listen to me. I don't get up and go on a job every week. I don't have to. Why? Because of how I live my life over the years. In all of my ways, I acknowledge him, because I know that my understanding was debauched. And I've watched him make my path straight, even into the day that I'm living in. December the 10th, 2019, was born February the 8th, 1944. All that time has been dedicated unto him. How many people you know are dead in the grave? Mouth ain't talking, brain ain't thinking, nothing. Did they trust in the Lord with all their heart? Did they lean unto their own understanding? In all their ways, did they acknowledge him? And wait a minute, how did they end up? There you go. You got it. You got it. You got it. Verse 7, what he does is he takes you to the next level. He takes you to the next level. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Now, this is brilliant. I love this. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Do you know why he says that? Because he knows that if you are functioning by what you see, that's about as far as you can take it. Now, he says, don't be wise in your own eyes. But look what he says. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Because he says, and the implication is, when you do trust solely in you, you're trusting in evil. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. He's saying that because you need not to be wise in your own eyes. And what will that turn bring you? He says it in verse 8. It will be healing to your body. And as reference to the navel, or the center of humanity, and refreshment to your bones. In other words, healing to your inward organs and refreshment to the bones that hold you up. Man, this is wonderful. I walked my dog today and I can only make a half a block because of the pain that started coming back in that left leg. When I was young, I can do that. I praise him while I was walking because I praise him in any situation that I find myself in. And I think that that is what I should do. Okay. Oh, okay. That's just some people want me to answer something. Don't lose your place, John. Healing and refreshment to my bones. Now, he carries these thoughts of not forgetting the teaching, keeping them in the heart, because they add length of your days and years of your life, and peace will be. Are you living in peace? Are you at peace? You may not be at peace because you ain't close to God. Did you let kindness and truth leave you? You didn't bind them around your neck, did you? Huh? Did you write them on the tablet of your heart? Thy word have I hid in my heart, is what the psalmist said, that I might not sin against God. Oh, I'm telling you. In your society, does your name find favor and good repute? If it don't, you won't either. Then you come down to verses 5, 6, 7. Look at verse 8. We talked about it. Healing to your body. Refreshment to your bones. Do you have that? Now, here we're getting into a difficult part. Some of you think I'm talking about tithing here. Forget you. You ain't got to give no church no money. But it says, honor the Lord from your wealth. In other words, from your revenue or from your increase, whatever you make, honor the Lord by it. I do every month. I do. A young man may be homeless out there walking the streets. I know him. He got a bag. He come by and he said, hey, John, can I wash my clothes? Yes, put them in there, wash some clothes, and I got a dryer too, and with God's help, I'm going to keep that washer and dryer going. I'm honoring the Lord from my wealth, and from the first of all of your produce. In other words, all the revenue and all the increase come in. How are you honoring God? You're not honoring God by going to that church, giving it to that pimp behind preacher, because that's not honoring God. Honor God. How would you honor God with your wealth and from the first of all of your produce? Set aside something that you can reference God with. Keep that as a memorial in your head. Now, if you want to track on down there to that mega church and sit in the pew and say, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord," and not even know what the people are talking about? You go ahead and subject yourself to that foolishness. I, my friend, am not talking about that at all. I wouldn't dare ask you to do something like that. So how do we give him the first part of a, well, the preacher was right, John. The preacher told us that we owe God 1/10 of everything. There's a verification. Now, stop it. You better do the exegesis. There was no church when those words were written. So the writer could not have been writing about a church. You see, the assumption is that if you are truly a believer in the God that has made you and has preserved you, that you know how to set aside. Now, when I went to church and when I was a pastor, I told them I set aside this for God because we have to pay for this building. This building has become a place for me to share God's word with you out of. So I'd rather do this than look for a place on the street. So I'm going to give a portion of my money every month, and so I can keep this building so we can preach in it and have somewhere to come and listen and to teach our children the wonderful word of God. Not only would I think that that is the right thing to do, but a person that's of the Muslim faith, of the Jewish faith, of the Brahmin faith, all of them would do it. Set aside some money so that they can give reference to the God that they love and the God that loves them. Why wouldn't I do it? I've been doing it. I feed people. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read something to you, and then you know that I'm not lying. A young man came by to visit me, and I was thrilled to see him. This is what I said. Okay. By the way, thank you for a great time this weekend, and you enjoy the rest of yours. It is good to have a friend like you. He said, "No, the pleasure."
Alert Romeo, as alert manager.
Oh, this would come in.
This Mac can't connect to iCloud because of a problem with Into the Word One at iCloud.
Did you hear that? This thing. He said, "The pleasure was all mine. You don't even understand how much you helped me on so many levels." That is how I help people. See? Now, when it says right here, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all of your produce. Now, what would happen if I continue to do this? What would happen if I continue to bless people's lives, to make their lives happier? Do you know what would happen? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. I just looked at my refrigerator, and it is full of food. Now, I don't eat all that kind of food, but it's so much food in there, I can go in there and make me some home fries. I can go and get some ice cream, and I can and whatever I want, but I don't even want it. I don't even want it, and my barns are filled with plenty, and my vats are overflowing. Wait a minute. I literally want to look at this thing and see. Well, I have, yes, one more bottle of wine left. Yes. Because it says, man, look at that. Woo. And your vats will overflow with new wine. I got a fresh bottle in there right now. Don't even want to open up the bottle of wine. And then he ends up this wonderful treatise. He says in verse 11, "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. In other words, when you mess up and somebody comes down on you and give it to you in that form, don't be all tripping and thinking that something is wrong, because I'll put you out. I don't want you in my face. That's discipline. See, or loathe his reproof. Don't spurn it. Don't try to refute reproof. Accept the refutation of something. God's reproof. And then it says it well in verse 12, for whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father, the son, in whom he delights. In other words, I may love my son, I may give consent or pardon, and I may enjoy and approve of his life. Sometimes I'm bringing the levy down on your ass because you need it. See, the Bible is a practical book, and Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12 are full of human delights, and I would share those delights. I hope sometime this Christmas season with my grandson. I don't know what my dog keeps going back here looking at my closet for. What's back there? Wait a minute, I'm going to let you guys know what I'm doing. Why do you keep looking in that closet? Do you have a bag of candy or something back here that you keep? What are you doing? What's back here? I don't see anything. What? I mean, he's just back here. Gee, there's nothing back here, Hardcore. Take it easy. That's my dog, Hardcore. Hardcore keeps me guessing. That's what he does. Thank you, people, for coming to my website today. And I hope that you gain something from this study. May God bless you. And I hope that your holiday is a lovely one.